God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Today, of course, is Thanksgiving Day, and we really appreciate you taking time from your schedule to listen to our program. We believe it will be well worth the effort. Brother Hutchings' guest is Terry Jones, a pastor in the Oklahoma City area. What sets him apart from other pastors is that he is, as far as we know, the longest surviving victim of Lou Gehrig's disease. If you don't believe in miracles, his story should change your mind. It's inspiring and God-honoring. Brother Hutchings, how did you come to know about Brother Terry?
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Recently, some supporters of the ministry from Iowa came through and was telling me about Terry. I said, well, I must meet him and have him on the program because he has a very unusual testimony about how God has worked in his life. As I've shared with you, 8 years ago, the doctor came into my room and said, there's absolutely nothing you can do for me. And about 15 minutes later, a young doctor came in and said, God has given me the ability to do high risk. And so we're still here with you today. Sometimes, like Dr. Luke, God uses those in Christian service who have particular skills to join us in the ministry. Such is the story of Brother Terry Jones. Brother Jones, you have an unusual testimony. Would you care to share that with us?
Thank you, Dr. Noah. It's a joy to be here with you today and to be in the lovely facilities that you have here in Oklahoma City and to visit with your listeners on the air. I just believe that I'm very honored to be here and hope God will be pleased with what we do.
Your testimony is somewhat different in that you have an unusual affliction.
Yes. In 1973, I began to notice the symptoms of a neurological disease that is now discovered and called amyotrophic lateral sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease. Began with the right thumb and eventually worked through the right hand and right arm and left hand, left arm, both legs. And the doctors became very concerned. And it's been a interesting journey how God has brought me through that time to this present experience of victory.
I had a very dear friend in the radio station communications who had the same disease, I believe, but he passed away. The Lord called him home after 5 years. Now, how long have you had this disease?
My first symptoms began in 1973, so it's coming up to be 35 years this coming February. So God has certainly been good to us. There's been a lot of ups and downs and bumps on the road. But one of the things that happens with this disease, which incidentally, as you mentioned, your friend, the average lifespan is 3 to 5 years. It's always terminal. There is no cure of any kind to this point. And I've just had a series of miracles that God has extended my life and my ministry. And it's just a joy to be talking because one of the side effects of this disease, it destroys the voice early on in the process. And God has spared my voice. We've made 4 albums in Nashville in gospel music area. We've traveled all over the country, many parts of the world. So I'm glad that I can still talk and sing and be with you on a radio show like this.
Now, when you first noticed this disease, or it was diagnosed, you were a pastor then, weren't you?
Yes, sir. Down in Texas, in Beaumont, Texas area.
Your church, the Nazarene Church, right?
Yes.
You were married at the time, right?
I was. I met my wife, Laquita, at Southern Nazarene University. They say that marriages are made in heaven, but they're arranged in a church college on so many occasions. And so that's what happened here. My daughter, Lori Elizabeth, our only child, was born before graduation was complete and spent a little time in Louisiana and on down to Beaumont.
Now, as I understand it, Brother Terry, you are the oldest living survivor. That doesn't mean that you're the oldest person who has ever had this disease, but you are the oldest survivor. I mean, because usually those who get this disease or contract this disease usually last usually no more than 5 years. I know my friend I mentioned, I think he lasts 5 years. But here you're coming upon 35 years. God had to really work a miracle, didn't he?
He really has, and really continues every day. The notables that have had Lou Gehrig's disease are kind of interesting. Dr. David Hawking is a great physicist, but one that does not share our understanding of God, and he is not able to talk. They have computers that help him communicate. Again, I'm glad that God has spared my voice. There is another gentleman by the name of Charlie Wiedemeyer. You would like him. He was a professional football player and literally became a high school coach because he loved young people. And I worked with him in Hawaii at Honolulu Country Club. Golf has been a big part of my life, and we were there on the Pro Bowl activities about 10 years ago. Charlie travels with a group of 15 nurses. He cannot speak. He can move his eyes and one corner of his lips, and his wife Lucy can interpret the moving of the lips, and thus they have a type of speaking ministry, but a very powerful man. And other than those two, I know of no other length of time that God has spared, with one or two occasions of total healing that we've been hearing some about, but do not have personal knowledge. So as far as I know, the longest survivor that is active.
Now, you have a book. The title of the book is Soul Survivor. A dear friend of yours, Dr. David Nixon, took your oral story and put it into a book because it's obvious that you can't type.
No.
Because the part of your body that is affected more than any other is your hands and your arms. But here you are a young pastor starting out. Of course, you already had your church that time. And you and your wife, and you suddenly are told that you have Lou Gehrig's disease. First, why is it called Lou Gehrig's disease?
Lou Gehrig was the Iron Man. That was what he was called. His nickname was Iron Man, played for the New York Yankees. That famous black and white movie that was out a number of years ago talks about that, the speech that he gave, and they actually have a part of his recording. And he, in his halting, broken voice, he says, "I am the luckiest man alive to have served the fans of the New York Yankees." And I would beg to differ with him. I am the luckiest man alive to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And baseball is great, but doing God's work, I think, is even more fruitful for me. But he was a great baseball player, and he was probably the first prominent person that they were able to connect with the disease and thus kind of help in fundraising.
I remember, I think it was on a newsreel. Could have been they saved it for TV, but I've seen and heard Lou Gehrig making that final speech that he made. It was very, very moving. He was a great athlete, a fine man. But you have your story in a book. It's called Soul Survivor. Brother Jerry is going to tell our listeners how to get this book, because I think it'll be a marvelous testimony for many Christians today, many young people. We're always privileged to present books like this that tell how God is working in the lives of others, even though they have such handicaps as you. Recently, we had Kim Wicks on, you know, blind since she was 3 years old. Had a marvelous testimony. I think we sent out thousands of her, at least hundreds of her CDs, and put her story in book form. We do this from time to time. Those listening are going to want a copy of Brother Terry's book so you can share it with others. But here you are. You're told that you have this terminal disease. At least it's known as a terminal disease because you're the longest living survivor as far as we know. But what did you do when you were told this, you and your wife?
We had a series of interventions with the doctors and the medical team there in Houston, Texas. Finally, they sent me to Mayo Clinic after about 3 years of diagnostic tests, some minor surgery from biopsies, and they tried to do everything they could to rule out the fact that it might be Lou Gehrig's disease. And very briefly, a couple of things that God has really done that has been unusual as far as what I have read in days past, but I made my way to Mayo Clinic April 19th, 1976, and after a day and a half of testing, the doctors there concluded that the physicians in Houston were correct in the diagnosis of Lou Gehrig's disease. So I was called into the head of neurology, Dr. Milliken's office, and he gave me the bad news, and he said, there's nothing more we can do. Sent me home, less than 6 months to live at that point. I had already been involved for 3 years with the illness. So I remember walking down the floor of black marble floors, gray marble halls, pushed the button on the 11th floor of the elevator shaft, and the door opened, and there was no one present that I could see. Stepped into the empty elevator car, and on the way down, it just seemed like the powers of darkness just gathered over me. The reality, it was not a voice, but there was just the presence of evil, of Satan there that said, this is it, you're going down, your life is over. But at that moment, there were two or three real epiphanies that have happened in my life. Suddenly, God began to fill that elevator shaft. I'm not sure if anyone would have seen it other than myself. There was no one there, but there was a Shekinah glory of God's presence that just filled that place. And God's voice spoke so clearly. He said, man's limitations. It was an audible voice that I could hear. I don't know if anybody else, but it said, man's limitations are God's beginnings. When I began to understand that, to realize that no physician, pastor, parent, no one else could really help me at that point, when we get to the end of ourself and let God take over on the living level of our faith and the living level of our life, I really think that's where God wants us all to live, on the frontiers of our faith. And from that moment, there began to be some marvelous things happen, and God got on board and kicked the devil down the shaft. We need a lot more of that today, and that's exactly what happened.
Amen. You continue, though, to seek some medical helps. You had some unusual treatments for someone with your disease.
We really did, and kind of a funny story that happened along with that, doctor. There was the doctors that had sent me to Mayo Clinic in the first place. I went to the doctor's office one day and had an appointment, and I'm not sure why they call them appointments. Should be suggestions, I think. The doctor was late getting in there, so I read all the magazines in the room, and I started reading his mail on his desk. Now, I didn't pick it up and look at it, but I just wandered around the office there, and I started reading the writing on the wall, you know, the different diplomas and so on and so forth. And I saw a fraternity plaque that had a strange-looking lion, a three-headed lion, and I saw it was from the University of Texas. Well, doctor came, had our appointment. I asked him about that, and he told me. It wasn't long till about later in the day, I was called into a Christian businessman's office who's very wealthy. He wanted to know, inquire about my condition. And while he was on the phone, I started reading his walls, and I saw that same funny-looking diploma, the three-headed lion. Some would call it coincidence. I call it providence. And God came and helped me to connect the dots. And I asked him if he knew the doctor, and one thing led to another. One man who had the great funds, amount of money, the other the physician who could have the connections medically, and they sent me to Florida to begin injections of modified treatments of cobra venom, literally cobra venom. I went to the place at the Miami Serpentarium where they gathered the venom. They took the harmful protein out through centrifuge and other kind of medical apparatus, and we were among the first to be treated. We had to sign away our rights, and really that's what we do when we come to God. Not my will, but yours. But we had to sign a physical piece of paper saying that if death came, we wouldn't hold the clinic responsible. So it was there 7 weeks, began the venom treatment, small doses, and finally built up to 1.5 cc's. And then after that, for a period of 10 years, continued on the treatment.
Now, when you were injected with cobra venom, did you have any unusual responses, or was it just like taking a shot?
I had no unusual response to the injection. It is intramuscular. 1.5 cc's of what we built up to, but a long needle, about 1.25 inches long. And as I took these injections, I had no side effect. I saw others who took the injection. Some died on the first day. There were 60 of us from all parts of the world, and it literally was the end of the line for us. It was our last hope, and we were also very, very weak. I saw those that could not speak a word, could not write a word. And it was really the first time that I'd come in contact with other patients. And I looked around at the clinic and the gathering. We had a gathering of the patients, the 60 of us, before we began the injections. And Dr. Murray Sanders was a physician, but he was a great Christian as well. And he said, if God doesn't help in our efforts, then, you know, it would be of no avail. But I watched and I said, you know, these are not my people. I don't belong here. I said to myself, what's a nice guy like me doing in a place like this? I think we've all said that one time or another. But God began to melt my heart, and I saw those that could not speak except through their tears. They cried when they were happy. They cried when they were sad. And remember the great Old Testament scriptures, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, but hold on, joy cometh in the morning. God is forever turning old nights into new mornings, and he did that for me in a marvelous way.
Now, after you began to understand that you were not going to die, God was working in your life, you continued your ministry, didn't you?
I did, and during one of these very special times of prayer and inspiration, God came to me one day and said, suffer your afflictions and do the work of the evangelist. And there are these scriptures from the New Testament made it so very clear. And I reminded God that I could not dress myself, I could not comb my hair, I could not tie my shoes, but God said, this is what I want you to do. Suffer your afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. So when God calls, he also provides and prepares. And it was not long till I began to receive phone calls and letters from all over the nation. And they have invited me to come and share my story. I've always considered it to be a steward of the story God's given. I try not to build my ministry on the story, but to make sure that I shared it in the proper way that God had given. And so that began, and we have traveled through all the states here in the continental United States, except for Alaska, overseas on many, many occasions. And it's just been a marvelous time. They didn't get a preacher. They got a project. And the devil said, nobody's going to want to have a crippled preacher around. But you know what happened, Dr. Noah? My wife was still home. I had a daughter still in high school. So she stayed home, and I traveled alone. And they would comb my hair. The pastors were so kind. I was a man of 1,000 hairstyles. Everybody combed my hair different. They would button my shirts and put on my socks. And as time has got on, God has taught me how to do all these things. But, you know, it endeared me to the congregation. It was just a marvelous time, a little as much when God is in it. And it was one of the greatest blessings I've ever received to have others minister to me in that way.
Well, you have a marvelous testimony, a marvelous spirit, and a marvelous personality. Terry is just someone that you like to be around because he's giving God the glory for his testimony, his life. Your wife is still with you?
She is, and she is actually ministering at a funeral home here in Oklahoma City. And as a pastor's wife, she learned to help counsel and comfort and bake cookies, and so they discovered her talent, and she's kind of there at the front, and she does these kind of things for one of the leading funeral homes here. And as my years have got on, I'm 63 in December, we've had to slow our travels down some. We had a big diesel motorhome we traveled the country in, and as time went on, realizing that was a physical burden on her, I am now working with a hospice here in the Oklahoma City area as a chaplain and sharing the good news, the gospel, with those that have physical needs. But that's given me my weekends free and travel many, many weekends, and was just in Iowa seeing some of the friends you were talked about earlier just recently, and God continues to bless my ministry. I ask the question sometimes, do dreams come with expiration dates? And you're a perfect example, Dr. Noah, of understanding that our ministry can go on long past traditional working periods. And I don't think I'll ever retire. I just get retread.
Amen. I know I had lunch with you the other day and I had to help you a little bit, but you're still pretty self-reliant and you still play golf. In fact, I'm looking forward to getting out on the golf course with you.
Thank you. One of the interesting things that have happened, God says he'll give us the desires of our heart. And I played golf in high school and college, and I had the period when I could not play at all for 5 or 6 years. But I came in contact with some wonderful golf professionals that have loved and cared for me. Among those, Tom Watson, the great epic player, his caddy, Mr. Bruce Edwards. He worked for Tom Watson for over 30 years. In 03, he was diagnosed at the same place at Mayo Clinic and I, and he lived a year and 4 months after that date, but had the privilege of ministering to him and to Tom and hopefully made some good impact in his life.
You have a ministry, Foundations of Faith. If there are those churches that would like to have you come as a motivational speaker, guest speaker in their church, do you have a website or telephone number?
I do have a website. It is terryjonesministries.org. It's ministries, IES.org, and I can be reached there, or they can contact your studios right here, Dr. Noah, and I know that we can work together through that. So
sure, just call us and we'll put you in touch with Terry. He's a motivational speaker, travels all over the world, I guess, and has a marvelous testimony and can reach young people today for Christ and bring inspiration and hope to others who are wrestling with physical problems. You'll want a copy of his book, Soul Survivor. It's a tremendous inspirational story of how Terry, in God's service, overcome his illness and handicaps to continue telling others that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Here now is Brother Jerry to give you the number to call or the address to write. Also, remember our website.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings, and thanks to all of you who took time off from your Thanksgiving celebration to join us today. Terry Jones' story is one for which not only he and his family can give thanks, but all of us can rejoice in the fact that God has spared his life and used his testimony so effectively. Stop for just a moment now and consider all the things you have to be thankful for. Even if we're in difficult times, remember what James wrote. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. That's James chapter 1, verse 2. Now, that word temptations can be translated trial. So we thank the Father in all circumstances of life. No doubt you'll want to read Brother Terry's inspiring story. It's in a 152-page book entitled Soul Survivor. And we'll send a copy when you make an offering of $15 to this ministry. If you want one for yourself and another to share with a friend, the gift amount is $25 for two. To get Soul Survivor, call 1-800-652-1144. That number again, 1-800-652-1144. If you prefer the mail, write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Or visit the website at swrc.com. The book includes pictures of Brother Terry along with some of his friends and his family. But the best thing about the book is that it tells the unique story of a man in whom God has performed an absolute miracle. Again, get one copy for a gift of $15, two in appreciation of your $25 contribution. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio at Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or go online, the web address, swrc.com. Tomorrow, we close the week with a message by Dr. Bob Glaze on NAFTA and the New World Order from this year's East Coast Prophecy Conference. Don't miss it. Stay tuned now over most of these stations for a Bible question and answer, and be here tomorrow for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries Question and Answer. Answering today's question is Dr. Larry Spargimino. Brother Larry, 1 Kings chapter 11 indicates that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Why did Solomon have so many women in his life?
Well, Jerry, Solomon had a very aggressive foreign policy. His goal was to build a great empire, and that is exactly what he did. In the ancient Middle East, it was customary to ratify a treaty or a covenant by a lesser king giving a greater king his daughter in marriage. Solomon had a reputation for being a great king and a great leader. It was in this way that he kept on picking up more and more wives. These wives were considered tokens of friendship and proof of a bond between the two kings. Solomon disobeyed the command of God. In Deuteronomy 17, verse 17, the Lord said that the king should not, quote, multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold, close quotes. So, Jerry, that passage warns us of several things, and it also warns the king of multiplying to himself horses. Solomon violated all of these commands of God. Solomon failed to realize that God's commands are for our good, not for our hurt. Solomon disobeyed God's commands and was deeply hurt. In the end, his mighty empire was divided.
Solomon acted very unwisely, didn't he?
Indeed he did. Of course, from a human point of view, he was very wise. His goal was to build a great empire, and he was using his ingenuity to achieve that goal. But as the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, Jerry, Solomon was leaning on his own understanding and not trusting in the Lord.
So, Brother Larry, what happened to Solomon?
Well, Jerry, all of these foreign women turned Solomon's heart away from the Lord. Though he was a very wise man, he failed to apply the wisdom that was his to his own life. As a result of his disobedience, God raised up adversaries who rebelled against his leadership and rebelled against his kingly authority. Though the book of Ecclesiastes doesn't mention Solomon by name, it was probably written by Solomon. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 1 identifies the human author as, quote, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, close quotes. You know, Jerry, as we read Ecclesiastes, we see that it is pessimistic in tone. The author has now come to understand the folly of riches. He claims that life is meaningless and makes no more sense than chasing after the wind. You see, God knows what's best for us. It is always dangerous to disobey God.
That's today's question and answer from Southwest Radio Ministries. Each month, questions and answers and Bible in the News reports are published in a booklet. If you would like a copy of that booklet, call, write, or visit our website. Please include a gift of $3 to cover shipping and handling. The phone number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Again, 1-800-652-1144. If you prefer to write, the mailing address is Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the website at swrc.com. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program, when once again we bring you either a question and answer or Bible in the News report.